The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Told y'all DK Metcalf's the truth. How about that 20 seconds remaining? Leave it to Russell Wilson. His team's 5-0, getting the job done with that one-point win over the Vikings. Stephen A., is Russell Wilson the best quarterback in the league right now?
I think right now when you look at him, he certainly didn't look that way in the first half, but when you look at how he's been performing, completing better than 75% of his passes, undefeated, constantly, consistently producing in clutch time, I definitely think you can make the argument that he's the best right now in football. Aaron Rodgers and others look absolutely phenomenal. They're winning as well, but we're seeing Russell Wilson having elevated his game. Customarily, the Seattle Seahawks are relying on their running game and their defense. This year, they've unleashed Russell Wilson in such a way where you're seeing all facets of his game come shining through. His passing ability, his scrambling ability, his decision-making, his performances under the in clutch situations, plus his genuine leadership. These guys are rallying around him. He's a constant, element of positivity. He constantly goes out there. He has a never-say-die attitude. And really, as a result of it, Seattle consistently wins. This dude, Russell Wilson, is a Hall of Famer. He performs like a Hall of Famer. And I think right now, it's a two-horse race between him and Aaron Rodgers. Not even a two-horse race, because there's a couple other people that might be in the mix. But I think Russell Wilson right now is a slight edge, but he's at the head of the pack.
It's a fair point. I disagree with it. For me, for my money, I'll take Patrick Mahomes 1, even right now, and I'll take Aaron Rodgers 2, and I'll take Russell Wilson 3. I don't love being on that side of the argument. I wish I could be taking Russell Wilson right now, because it's kind of arbitrary when you say who's the best right now. You mean this last game? Well, I mean the Packers have a bye this week, right? When last seen, Aaron Rodgers was ridiculously great. He has the highest QBR through 4 games in the history of QBR. In the history of QBR, has the highest QBR through 4 games. The two others that had a second and third on that list, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, did remarkable things that year. Took their teams to the Super Bowl, each set the touchdown record. Aaron Rodgers is ahead of their pace. So I think Rodgers is playing the best football, and I would always take Mahomes number 1 at any given moment. Here's the argument for Russell Wilson to me. He's playing just about as well as anyone, and arguably better at the moment. But you could kind of say that over the last 5 years. If you want to say who's been the best quarterback over the entirety of the 5 years that just occurred, I'd say Russell Wilson. Other guys come and go on the list. He's on that list every single year. So how do you determine who's the best? Is it over the last 5 years? Is it who hit the highest peak? Is it this last game? Is it so far this season? If it's the highest peak, I like Mahomes. If it's the quarterback I want on my team, I like Mahomes. If it's the guy having the best season so far, I like Aaron Rodgers, although he's played one less game than Russell Wilson's played so far. By the way, Aaron Rodgers has beaten 2 divisional rivals, including the Vikings team that Russell Wilson just needed to have heroics to beat. He's also beaten the Saints, and he has not won a game by less than a touchdown so far this year. I don't know that Seattle defense, nothing to write home about, but neither is the Packers, really. So, yeah, Russell Wilson has that extra game over Aaron Rodgers this year, but I don't think you can say he's outperformed him when Rodgers has played 13 touchdowns, no interceptions, highest QBR ever, or at least since QBR has been tracked. And Patrick Mahomes is the guy I'd want on any given Sunday. So I have Russell Wilson, I'm sorry to say, 3rd on my list.
Okay.
All right.
I disagree.
Russell Wilson has never received an MVP vote. I find that stat unbelievable. And he's the only quarterback this season with 3 come-from-behind wins in the second half.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What a year. This one is bittersweet for sure. Great tribute there to Kobe Bryant. And obviously this one is for Kobe and Gigi. Look who it is, the man responsible for five of the Lakers' 17 chips, the Hall of Famer, the one and only Irvin Magic Johnson. Magic, thank you for being with us. So good to see you, sir.
Molly, it's good to see you, especially after being named the NBA champions last night.
Yes, sir. Let's start right there. Magic, talk to me. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, what's on my mind is the fact that LeBron James proved again why he is the greatest basketball player in the world. He proved again why he should have been named the most valuable player of the NBA. And then second, Anthony Davis, with the regular season that he put together, with the playoff run that he had during this incredible playoff bubble season, he proved that he was the second best player in the NBA this season. So watch out next season. I'm predicting right here, right now, the Lakers gonna repeat.
Magic Johnson, when you look at these Los Angeles Lakers, particularly what they've accomplished, what LeBron James accomplished, how do you view this season in terms of it being one of the toughest, if not the toughest championship he's ever captured in his NBA career? Where do you rank this?
Well, not only the toughest for LeBron, I mean, winning this championship, but I think just for the Los Angeles Lakers. When you think about everything that the Lakers had to go through this season, especially the death of Kobe Bryant and his beautiful daughter as well, you think about coronavirus and stopping the season, and then our great commissioner, Adam Silver, saying we are going to finish the season and have a playoff, creating this bubble. Adam was smart enough to get with the doctors and scientists and create a healthy, safe environment for the players. And then the players had to decide to go. So again, thank their wives, thank their parents for and their kids for allowing these players to go play. But I will say this, to see LeBron do what he's done and the Laker organization come back, I think it was the hardest championship he had to win. Yes, I know coming back 3-1, Max, you said it earlier, with Golden State was difficult. Yes, it was. But at the same time, you didn't have life or death situations going on. So when you have life and death situation going on, and I'm talking about the players could have came down with this virus, I think this was the hardest championship any team has had to win.
And by the way, credit
the Laker team, but any team in sports.
Credit the NBA. They've got their regular season local TV money. They played enough basketball for that. They crowned a champion. They had zero positive COVID cases the entire time. Unbelievable, the job that the league and the players just did. Magic, I want to take it back to when I was a kid, growing up as a Knicks fan, sorry to say. I used to look at the Celtics, and they were the New York Yankees of basketball. Ooh, it made me mad. They had 13 chips. The Lakers had six. The Lakers were in second place, way behind. No one was ever going to catch the Celtics. What, the Celtics going to stop winning championships? And they didn't. Celtics won four more. But the Lakers drafted Magic Johnson, and since they did, they have won 11. And now it's 17-17 Magic. Last night, the Lakers caught the Celtics. The Celtics all time. What does that mean to you?
Oh, you know, I was sitting at home. First, I was jumping up and screaming. Cookie had to restrain me from going so crazy, right? I'm thinking I'm playing in the game. But it was a great for all Laker fans and all former Laker players, this was a great moment because of the fact that we did catch them when it comes to NBA championships. Dr. Buss, I know he was sitting there and having with Kobe, with Chick Hearn, our great announcer, sitting there saying, hey, we finally tied the Celtics. And it was a great moment also for Jeannie Buss to say, hey, she won her championship away from her father, made her father proud as well as the owner of the Lakers. So this was a great moment for all Laker Nation across the world. And I just want to tell LeBron James, everything you told me you were going to do when I sat in your living room with your agent Rich Paul is come to fruition. And he's brought the championship back to Los Angeles, back to Laker fans. He said he was going to take us to the NBA championship, and he said he was going to win it, and he's definitely done that.
I want to give Jeannie Buss major props because she got the team. She got the team away from her brother. So we forget that. I mean, once upon a time, it was her brother running the show. Thank God she pulled that off. That's number one. Number two, give a lot of love to Rob Pelinka for the job that he has done. Yep. Having said all of that, Magic Johnson, obviously, Jeannie Buss acknowledged last night that you had a lot to do with the turnaround that took place because you started the process just by agreeing to step away from your businesses to some degree to run the Lakers. I want to know on a personal level, how does this feel for you, knowing Jeannie deserves so much credit, knowing Rob Pelinka deserves so much credit, but nevertheless, it started with you, really. Talk to me about that for a second.
Well, I was feeling really good last night. You know, everything that Rob and I and Jeannie talked about, I said, hey, Jeannie and the Laker fans, it's going to take us 3 years, right? We were over the salary cap when I took over with Rob, the team. And I said, Rob, we got to have a plan to get rid of these two bad contracts that we have. And if we can do that, it'll put us in a position, hopefully, to go after LeBron James when he was a free agent. And so we were able to get rid of one contract with the D'Angelo Russell trade. We tied Mozgov to him. And then we were able to stretch Luol Deng. And so that gave us the right money in terms of getting up under the salary cap to go after LeBron James. But LeBron James bought into the vision in terms of the first year, I thought we could make the playoff. The second year, I told him we'll have enough money to go after another superstar. I couldn't pull off that trade with Anthony Davis, but Rob Pelinka pulled off the trade. He did a wonderful job of signing Danny Green, Dwight Howard, you know, bringing in Markieff Morris, making sure that KCP stayed with the Lakers. And then Caruso, who I thought played a great the whole playoff season, he was looking good, and he really helped the Lakers on the defensive end. So Rob did some wonderful things. Jeannie Buss signed off, and I think here we are today because everybody worked together, and that's what the Laker family is about. And then I want to give Kobe Bryant a lot of credit, and it's too bad he's not here to see his work too, because he was working behind the scenes with Jeannie as well and with Rob, and recruiting LeBron James as well. So, you know, all of us played a part, and I'm just happy that the end result was we won the NBA championship. We have 17. I don't have to hear that from Celtic fans no more. No, you don't have more championships than the Los Angeles Lakers.
Magic, I want to talk about Jeannie for a minute and get your thoughts about Jeannie specifically, because in a kind of an emotional sense, in Lakers Nation, you and Jeannie are like brother and sister. You grew up with her basically from the age of 19 when the Lakers drafted you. Yeah. And she's the first female owner in the history of the NBA to win a championship now. And she did it with enough distance from the late, great Dr. Jerry Buss, who's by far and without argument the greatest owner in the history of American team sports. She did it with enough distance that this is really on her. And I want to get to one example of it. When Kobe's Achilles went, they re-signed him before they ever saw him to 2 years, $50 million. And I thought at the time, what? You haven't even seen him play. That's the end of your salary cap. You're not going to be good for a long time. And what Jeannie told me then was, We have to send a message. First of all, it's Kobe. She wasn't going to let him go. And the NBA is going to see that this is how the Lakers take care of their own. Kobe's not just another player. He's a franchise icon, like Magic. Do you think that had any effect on the fact that LeBron looked at the Lakers and said, obviously your presence there, it was functional again, but said, yup, I want to play for the Lakers?
Yes, he saw that Jeannie Buss is a great owner and a player's owner. And then at the same time, he saw a pathway. We had a strategy set up that there was a pathway to an NBA championship. So he understood that, yes, I can be the person who bring the Lakers back. And what that means for him is big, because he's now going to cash in on the fact that the Lakers won the NBA championship because he signed with the Lakers. And his company going to explode. He's going to explode. And I think that LeBron James is well on his way. If he win one more, I don't know how Michael and him going to be right there together, because it's hard to say he's not, you know, the greatest of all time with Michael. And of course, my man Kareem is always in that conversation, but Magic. This young man has meant so much to a struggling franchise. Like, we were struggling, but now we're back because of LeBron James. So thank you, LeBron, for signing on. Thank you, AD, coming. Jeannie's done a wonderful job. And little girls right now are dreaming, saying, hey, you know what? I can be like Jeannie one day.
That's a great point, for sure. Magic, you dropped a couple of gems there. The Lakers could repeat. LeBron and MJ potentially.
No, Molly. Hold on, Molly. I didn't say that they could. I said they're going to repeat.
Okay, we're taking a commercial break. You're not going anywhere, because we're talking about that. And I also saw that MJ, LeBron neck and neck. Did you just mention that as well?
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit, and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
All hail the king. LeBron James winning his fourth title and fourth finals MVP last night in the bubble, defeating his former team, the Miami Heat, in six games. The Hall of Famer, Irvin Magic Johnson, back here with us. And Magic, I want to get back to something you said earlier. You said the Lakers will repeat, not might, will repeat. And then you mentioned something about LeBron, MJ, neck and neck. Can you please expound upon that? Because I'm sure Stephen A. wants to respond.
No, I said he gets that next one. It's going to be hard not to say he's right there with MJ. I said the next one, which will be five, because it's hard to say six and four. It's hard to say he's overtaken Michael at four championships. So I think that once he wins and also repeats, the key word here is repeat. That puts him in a good, that's a good argument right there. I love where LeBron is going. He's with the right organization. And I think that Rob Pelinka, we talked about it last night. You add a piece to what they already have, and they're going to be right there.
Well, listen, I'm not going to argue with you about this now. We'll have plenty of time to get into that in the future. And I don't want to sit up there and come across as remotely disrespectful to the king at this particular moment in time. He's the champion. He deserves it. I'm real proud of him. LeBron's got a lot to be proud of. No mistake about it. I got him number two or three on Mount Rushmore, really number two. I don't think that's disrespectful or hating on him at all. Having said that.
That's right.
You and I were talking last week, Magic, and you talked about how no champion who repeats fails to tweak something along the way. Well, let me throw this by you. Anthony Davis has a player option. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has a player option. And after Danny Green missed that shot, even though it was stupid for people to get at him the way that they did, he is getting paid $15 million. Caldwell-Pope is only at $8 million. He going to want his money. Okay, so I'm looking at that. I'm looking at the Avery Bradleys of the world with a player option. If you're going to tweak something, what are you going to tweak? And are you sure, Magic Johnson, that Anthony Davis is going to stay?
I am positive Anthony Davis is coming back. What, listen, this has been the greatest situation for Anthony Davis and the Lakers. Anthony Davis now is known across the world, right, because of the platform of the Lakers. And then him and LeBron again next season, man, they can repeat. You don't want to leave here and not have a guy like LeBron James playing alongside of you. Because the same thing happened, what happened in New Orleans, what happened to Anthony Davis again. They make each other better. And then last but not least, this is the great thing. When LeBron retires, he just says, here, Anthony Davis, it's your team now. You go on and lead the Lakers to the next 5 or 6 championships. So
just
I think
it's time for Luka to get there.
I'm not worried about Luka right now. We can't worry about Luka right now. We talking about right now.
Who are you going to pair with AD? You're going to be the next superstar is going to pair with him.
Hey, that's right. Luka, come on to the Lakers. I like that. I like that. But Anthony Davis also loves living in Los Angeles, too.
Magic, I want to talk about what this year means versus next year. So there will be those who say, and it's legitimate, the Warriors weren't around. Steph was hurt and all this stuff. Now, I think the Warriors, before they got KD, were looking at a LeBron-led team that had a crew and thought, I don't know, we can't beat them. Remember, they didn't have Kyrie or Kevin Love when they barely beat them in 6 games, when Dela Vadova was the second-best player. Then LeBron came back and beat them the next year. Then they got KD. That's not even fair. But it leads me to the following thought. Warriors are going to reload. They're not coming into next season just with Steph and Klay and Dre. There's no Iguodala there anymore. There's no KD. They're going to reload. They're going to try to take it to the next level on the Lakers. What about dealing with a reloaded Warriors team next year?
Of course, you know, I'm fans of Steph and Klay, right? I hope that they come back and they're healthy. And then I love Draymond Green, the former Spartans. You know, I'm always cheer for Draymond Green. But at the end of the day, the Lakers would still be the team to beat. I think if Golden State is healthy, and I'm sure they're going to make a good move. I don't know if they'll keep that second pick or not. They will be the second team. I think Denver, the way they're finished, and Murray and Jokic, I think they'll be the third team, and then the Clippers will probably be the fourth team. So I think those will be the 4 powerhouses in the West, and I still think with the experience that the Lakers got, especially all the other guys, forget LeBron, but Anthony Davis got championship experience. KCP got championship experience. You know, I can keep going. All those guys now will come back and be better next season.
Rondo Magic, looks like he could do this forever.
Hold on, Max. Magic, I just want you to, before you leave, I want you to address 2 topics. Number one, Max Kellerman, calling Kawhi Leonard the best player in the world for the last year until he had to throw in a oops. You can address that, but number two, and more importantly, you know, I was of the mindset that if the Clippers were to win this year, it would have been that much tougher for the Lakers because now you gotta overcome that because another team learned how to win. I want to know, because the Clippers have not won and now you've got them 4th, how much damage have they done to their franchise with Kawhi and Paul George in light of the fact that they weren't able to get it done this year?
Well, I think the Clippers, listen, what's missing with the Clippers, they just don't have a leader. And see, a superstar can be a superstar too. So Kawhi is a superstar, and he plays both ends of the court. Paul George, I think, is a star emerging. He could be a superstar. But you need somebody to lead the team. See, LeBron James is both. He's the best player in the world, but he's also the greatest leader in the world. So I think that's what's missing with the Clippers. And the fact that you know, they had talked all season how they wanted the Lakers, and they had their opportunity, but they came up short. And I want to give Rondo a lot of credit here. People thought I was crazy when I said you need multiple ball handlers to win, not just putting all the pressure on LeBron James to create shots for his teammates. We needed a second guy to do that, so when LeBron sat on the bench, Rondo could come in and do the same thing. Man, he was definitely playoff Rondo. I know he hates that term, but this young man took his game to a whole nother level. Last night, he proved again why he's so special, why he's great as not only a basketball player, but also a leader. Because if you look at our team, this guy was the second leader. I'm talking about in practice, in the locker room, film session. It was him and LeBron who took over the team. So, Rondo, thank you for signing with the Lakers, believing in the strategy to rebuild the Lakers, because he was a key piece of us winning it as well. So Anthony Davis and LeBron James and Rondo as well.
That's a great point. His second ring, 14th season, Springfield, Massachusetts might be calling his name now.
Two IQs on the court with LeBron.
That's right.
And
Molly, before I go, yeah. I knew I wanted Ty Lue to be in that position as a Laker coach, but I want to give Frank Vogel a lot of credit. Every single series, he made defensive adjustments. Yep. That's a great coach. Frank Vogel did an outstanding job.
No question, especially how he switched it up last night, and we saw how they came out. Unbelievable from the jump.
Yep.
Magic, always a pleasure to see you. Hope we get to see you in person soon. Stay safe. All the best to you and yours.
You know, when I'm coming to New York, I'm going to be on the show live because I got to face Stephen A. and Max, and I get to hug you.
In our new studio, right? Brooklyn Bridge right
That's
behind
right.
us, up here on the roof, trying not to get rained on. All right, Magic, we'll
All
talk
right,
to you soon.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
The Cowboys announced this morning that Dak Prescott's surgery for a compound fracture and dislocation of his right ankle was successfully completed last night. He is expected to be released from the hospital sometime today, per our Todd Archer. His recovery timetable is 4 to 6 months. Here's reaction after yesterday's game.
I know we won, but it just sucks to lose Dak, our leader. I was talking to the guys, it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us to fill that void that we're going to be missing from four, and we just got to go out there and play for him.
He was having a tremendous year, just, you know, in my short time working with him. He's made such an impression on me, and he's, you know, clearly the leader of this football team, and I have no doubt that he'll bounce back from this.
Dak's brother, Tad Prescott, posted a photo by his brother's side at the hospital saying, God is good. He'll be back stronger than ever. And also that Dak is in the hospital room, and I guarantee it. Let's go, Dak. Continue to walk by faith. I'll make sure you continue to fight. Jerry Jones releasing the following statement. We are all heartbroken for Dak and this very disappointing injury. I know this young man very well. I know the personal hardship and strife he has faced, dealt with, and overcome in his young life. And I know of no one who is more prepared from the perspective of mental and emotional toughness and determination than Dak Prescott to respond and recover from this challenge that has been put in front of him. He's an inspiration to everyone he touches. He has all of our love and support, and we have no doubt that he will return to the position of leadership and purpose that he brings to our team. All right. On that note, we bring in the birthday boy himself, Ryan Clark.
Birthday.
Hold on, looking
Molly.
Like a baby
Thank you guys.
Still, Ryan.
Thank you. I appreciate
Molly, first of all, I want to say happy birthday to Ryan Clark. I want to say happy birthday to Ryan Clark, but I also want to point this out.
His damn LSU Tigers did not give him a nice birthday present. They were horrible against Missouri. Molly,
let me
just
do
say
it to him.
Let me just say this to the kids out there.
Title.
I hope Ryan birthday? Clark and on Marcus Spears. Now, seriously, I hope Marcus Spears and Ryan Clark go talk to them. That flagrant lack of effort. I mean, they were running away from tackles. It was the most embarrassing performance that I've seen from LSU. I don't recall ever seeing them look more embarrassing. It was bad.
I'd like to just say happy birthday, Ryan.
Yeah. Ryan, I just want to say all the blessings and desires of your heart. I hope you have an unbelievable year.
I want you to inspire them. Effort.
Thank you, Molly.
All right, Ryan,
I appreciate
with
this
you.
Guy.
Just won the national championship.
Yeah. One of your friends like Stephen A.
Talking about him and talking about them.
Talk to me, though, about this with Dak. Devastating news. It's been such a tough year for him, obviously losing his brother as well. But we know his contract situation, right? The franchise tag. He doesn't have the security. So what does this mean for him now, his future with the Cowboys?
You know, I think his future with the Cowboys is in jeopardy. When you look at where Dak stood when he was fully healthy, when Dak was complete, Jerry Jones was scared to make or didn't want to make the type of commitment that Dak Prescott believed that he deserved. So look where he is now. I mean, this is a serious injury. This is an injury that also can bring other complications like infection because the bone actually broke the skin. And so Dak Prescott has a long road back. Dak Prescott was asking for Russell Wilson-type money. Dak Prescott was asking for more money than Jared Goff, and he bet on himself. And you're going to hear all the things. Well, he got $31 million. He has financial security. Listen, that's not how it works. How it works is you go out and you earn a certain amount of money. And when you earn that money, when you are a true leader, when you start 69 straight games, when you get this team in the playoffs, when you win and you do the things that Dak Prescott has done for this team, you're supposed to be rewarded in a certain way. And then now when Dak Prescott goes out and plays, and what happens, Molly and Max and Stephen A, is, you know, like we know that injury is a possibility. And you think, oh, you might sprain an ankle or you might hurt a knee, maybe a shoulder, but you come back. We never put ourselves in this position. And the position that Dak's in is tough. And I listened to Mike Tannenbaum talk this morning, and he said what he would do is right after the season, as soon as he can negotiate, is offer Dak an incentive-laden deal that could probably get him between $32 and $40 million. I don't think that Dak Prescott signs that deal. And so now that Dak Prescott isn't whole, now that Dak Prescott isn't in a position to have leverage, will they even give him the franchise tag? And so for me, what we know about the Dallas Cowboys is it was taking Dak Prescott to play out-of-worldly to just keep them in games, and they had only won one. A team like the New York Giants that had only scored 3 touchdowns the entire year scores over 30 points. They will not be good. So Dak Prescott's best hope is that this team can't win games, that the Philadelphia Eagles win the NFC East, and Jerry Jones sees his worth, his value, not only as a player on the field, but a leader in that locker room. Because if not, I believe that Dak Prescott could be quarterbacking another team as soon as 2021.
Rather than give an opinion here, I'm going to defer to you by simply asking you a question and giving you the floor to answer this, because Max and Keyshawn were on with me at the top of the show. And what I lamented about all of this was, this is Tony Romo in 2013. He signs for $108 million, the largest contract in the history of the franchise. Durability was a question mark. He only had one playoff win at this moment in time. In other words, Dak Prescott's resume was comparable, if not better. Max's argument was essentially that he was offered the contract. He was offered an exorbitant contract by Jerry Jones. He didn't elect to sign. My position is somehow, some way, Jerry Jones would have gotten Dak Prescott to agree, and they would have reached an accord on a long-term deal if indeed he were Tony Romo. That is my position, and that's the problem that I have with this. Where do you stand on that, Ryan Clark?
No, I agree with you. I agree that the affection, the type of relationship that Tony Romo and Jerry Jones shared is 100% completely different than how he feels about Dak Prescott. And I can't actually tell you why. Only Jerry Jones could tell you why. He doesn't believe that going the extra mile or stretching the extra inch for Dak Prescott is worth it. He doesn't believe that in bending over backwards or giving a little too much for Dak Prescott is not only the best thing for his team, which it seems that sometimes when Jerry Jones likes you or he has a personal affinity to you, he doesn't really care what it means for his team, whether it's Tony Romo, Jason Garrett. He seems to sometimes put that above how what he feels is best for the business or the football success of the Dallas Cowboys. He doesn't feel that way about Dak Prescott. He has shown that to us. He has proved that to us. That's why I thought that winning games was so important for Dak Prescott. But here's what I'll tell you. I remember when I got sick in 07, I missed, I think, the last 9 games of the season. Up until that point of that season, I'd played really well. The season before, I think when I went out, I was leading the team in tackles. I was up there in turnovers. And I remember when I finally got healthy, at the time, I'm like 170 pounds, and they just cleared me to where I can work out. Ray Horton was the defensive back coach. I walk in the room, and he goes, "I didn't know how important you were until you were not there anymore." And from that point on, I'd always been fighting for a position. It was always a position battle. They left me alone, and it was my show. And I got to be who I was. Because of that, I got to be here. And that's all you can hope for Dak Prescott, that it becomes a you don't know what you miss until it's gone. Dalton wins, go ahead. Yep.
But Ryan, the fact of the matter is they missed the playoffs last year. They went 8-8. And this year, with Dak, the whole game, they won one game, which they should have absolutely lost. It took one of the worst mental breakdowns in the history of football for them to even win that game. And they beat the Giants by the skin of their teeth. And it was not going great when Dak was in the game. So how much better does Andy Dalton, or what does Andy Dalton really need to do? I'll tell you what, I'm willing to sever for Trevor. I'll give you Daniel Jones for a 4th-round pick.
Did you come up with that?
That's right.
Or did you steal that from
Daniel
somebody?
Daniel Jones for a 4th-round pick because the Giants are going to be drafting first overall.
Did you
Can
come
I
up
interest
with
Dallas in a Daniel Jones?
That was the best line Max has ever given, sever for Trevor. If he came
like
up
it.
With that, I,
like
I am
it.
Impressed.
I like it.
But seriously.
Yeah, I mean.
Dak, go ahead.
I agree with you that Andy Dalton, that if it comes down to wins, because remember we talked about, was Dak doing enough? I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, and I said I didn't think he was. I felt like he had to beat the Russell Wilsons and beat the Jared Goffs, that the numbers really didn't matter. So if it still comes down to that, and Jerry Jones is going to look simply at the wins and losses of Dak Prescott or the wins and losses of this team without him, he doesn't get that deal. He doesn't get that money, which is why I stated in the beginning, unless Dak concedes, unless Dak says my leverage is gone, I'll take what I can to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, I think that he plays for another team, because I don't believe Jerry Jones will go above and beyond based on personal feelings for Dak.
Real quick, I just got, like, I've heard now from multiple sources that this is, people like seem to be pointing towards Dak's agent. People seem to be saying that, in fact, there were efforts made to sign him to a big deal, but this idea of the opt-out, right, or of the shorter-term deal was big for Dak's representation for a variety of reasons. And if that's the case, guys, Patrick Mahomes signed a team-friendly deal. I know it was for more money than Dak, but he's a lot better than Dak. That's a team-friendly deal, but he has the money. Dak was offered over $100 million. And he, for whatever reason, he turned it down. And part of his value was wrapped up in his durability. He's always there. He's not just a leader, but he's always there. I don't want to be down on Dak Prescott. He's gone through hell recently. And I don't want to hear people talking about, oh, but he has $30 million this year. I'm sure he'd give that money back to have his family intact, right? Like, I'm so sorry for Dak Prescott and what he's been through. But the fact of the matter is, this was a choice, as far as his professional life goes, to not sign that contract. And this is the risk, is it not?
No, you're absolutely right, Max. And I think, you know, I'm truly trying to balance the player in me who understands what he's going through, but also the analyst that has to say, okay, Dak was offered a certain deal. He felt like that deal wasn't good enough. I think the thing, Dan Graziano makes this point consistently and constantly that he was offered a good deal. I don't know the exact numbers. I don't know the numbers enough to say if I think that's a deal he should have taken or not. But the fact of the matter is this. He bet on himself. He didn't want that deal. He bet that he would play well, which I believed he was. He thought that they would win, which they weren't. And he believed that he would be healthy. Now all of those things are gone. The leverage is totally in the place of Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, the Dallas Cowboys organization. And so with that, we can say plainly right now that his agent and Dak Prescott made a mistake. Now it's about what are the next steps? Does it even matter how well the Dallas Cowboys play without Dak Prescott? Does it matter how well Andy Dalton performs? Because now we have to figure out what is this next deal or this next offer going to be based on?
All I'm saying is this. I'm not trying to absolve Dak Prescott or his agent, Max. All I'm saying is this. In 2013, Tony Romo was made the highest paid player in the history of the Dallas Cowboys franchise. That is inescapable because, again, Dak Prescott was very comparable to Tony Romo. The personal affection and affinity that Jerry Jones had for Tony Romo is different than Dak Prescott.
I wouldn't say no to that, but they tried to have Dak break his record. Dak wouldn't take the money.
Yeah, like, but you're talking about breaking his
record. By the way, today, from the Cowboys' point of view,
the market changes over a span of 7 years.
You're right. It wasn't proportionally as much as you
would think. That's all I mean.
I agree with that. From a Dallas Cowboys point of view, guys, today, it was lucky that he didn't sign that deal, considering the injury took place. They're not on the hook for an injured quarterback for over $100 million
exactly.
Now.
You should have just stopped talking with Sever with Trevor. That was really your high note high note of the day. You really brought it. Earned your paycheck.
That was pretty good, folks.
Brian, happy 30th birthday. I hope it's fantastic down there.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Finals MVP trophy, as you just said, is named after Bill Russell, who has been with us every year for the Finals, but of course couldn't be in the bubble this year, but I know is watching at home. And I have a feeling that this Finals MVP is going to have a trophy named after him one day. The Finals MVP is LeBron James.
A resume fit for a king. 3 teams, 4 NBA titles, 4 NBA Finals MVP, averaging nearly 30 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists per game in the Finals at age 30. On that note, I bring in my guy, Kendrick Perkins. Perk, does this close the door on the LeBron GOAT conversation debate?
Door's not even open.
Absolutely, Molly. Absolutely. And before I start, make sure, can you please, I'm going to play director for a minute. Can you please keep us all three on the screen together? I don't want the one block. I need us all three together because I need to talk about Stephen A. and Max body language. I've been watching the show over the last hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, and both of these old souls look bothered. And rightfully so, they should be bothered because they can't stomach the fact that they witnessed greatness last night. And two of these guys that I'm on the show with right now, both of them said the word never. LeBron James would never pass Michael Jordan. Don't never say never, because like I told you, he's sitting at the dinner table. And right now, he's on this entree with Michael Jordan. But past all that, if one want to call Michael Jordan a GOAT, Michael Jordan the GOAT, I'm okay with that. But guess what? LeBron James is my GOAT, and I have my reasons to back it. We could talk about all the stats. We could throw out everything that's out there, and we could go back and forth for hours. But I'm going to tell you one thing. One thing about Michael Jordan is that we all have said that they had a few guys that mimic Michael Jordan. Occasionally, Stephen A. Smith said that Kawhi Leonard game mimics Michael Jordan. A lot of people said that Kobe Bryant games mimic Michael Jordan. We would never see another LeBron James. We would never see another player that mimics LeBron James. With that being said, he's one of one. He's the ultimate generational talent. And the case is closed. Three teams, three finals MVPs, something that has never been done. And Stephen A., you can smack your lips, you can shake your head, it look like you're bothered, look like you haven't slept all night, and I'm pretty sure you didn't. You too, Max, probably was up pacing, hitting the pillows, drinking coffee, smoking those cheap cigars, and it's okay, I get it. I get it. But right now, we're going to enjoy this moment. We're going to enjoy this moment. And we're going to enjoy LeBron James and enjoy his greatness and not take him for granted. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Max. Go ahead, Max.
Well, a couple things. First of all, yes, LeBron is vying with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for GOAT career, right, in the NBA. Absolutely. In terms of career value. Michael Jordan had six legitimate chances to make the finals. He won MVP of the finals all six of those years, and his team went 6-0 each time in under seven games. Like the finals that LeBron just had, the playoffs that he just had, that was like par for the course for MJ. That's number one. Number two, Kobe Bryant in his day, people forget this already. There were as many people in basketball saying Kobe's better than MJ than there are now saying LeBron's better than MJ, but that's died down a bit because it's a direct comparison. Kobe is so close to MJ in terms of style, accomplishment, everything. You can compare them directly, and ultimately, MJ's a little better. LeBron has this asymmetry thing going for him. Because he's different than MJ, people like Kendrick Perkins could say he's even better. The record shows he wasn't. MJ was a more efficient scorer, but also more efficient offensive player overall. You can check the stats. MJ was a better defender and more consistent. MJ played more games every year. MJ was more dominant in the playoffs and finals than LeBron James. It's not a knock against LeBron James, and I get why people watching Kobe and people watching LeBron say what they do, because when your eyes were on Kobe, when your eyes are on LeBron, you can't imagine there was ever anything better than that. I get that, but my eyes were also on MJ. I lived through all three eras, and I could tell you there was something even a little better than this, and his name is Michael Jordan, for his peak. Now, for his career, LeBron already left that alone because he's played so many years, 17th season. LeBron is vying with Kareem for greatest overall NBA career. But as far as who was the best at their best, it's still MJ. I hate to inform you.
Well, I'm not going to get into the MJ point. We know my position on MJ, and Kendrick Perkins has a very good memory, and he remembers what I have to say. I don't have to beat him over the head with that yet again like I did last week. We understand the 10 scoring titles, the 6 championships, the fact that he's undefeated, the fact that he was a 9-time All-NBA defensive team player, whereas LeBron was 5 times, a 10-time scoring champ. We get all of that. But this is the thing about it. I would appreciate it if you stopped lying to the public. And I appreciate it, more importantly, Kendrick Perkins, if you define what hating is. I have LeBron James as number 2 all time in the history of basketball.
Me too.
Stop the presses, Kendrick Perkins. What an insult. How dare I sit and insult and hate LeBron James? Basketball started in 1946. The NBA got its name in 1950. It is now 2020. God knows how many players have come through the NBA. And I have said that LeBron James is on the Mount Rushmore of basketball, number 2 all time in the history of basketball. And Kendrick Perkins says, that's hating. That's hating. Let me ask you this question, Kendrick Perkins. If that's hating, what the hell is love? What is true love, Kendrick Perkins? Do you know what it is? Because last time I checked, I'm like, my God, the guy is number 2 all
time. And that's with six NBA Finals losses on his resume. No. And I still have him number two in the history of basketball. And people like you got folks trolling and running around in the streets saying, LeBron. Oh, my God, why y'all hating on LeBron James? How is that hate?
Because hating came when you mentioned and you shout out the word never. You said he would never be able to pass Michael Jordan in your
because
eyes,
he has six
to
finals
me,
losses.
That's hating. Say, because he's still playing and you still have the audacity to say you don't even know what the future is going to hold, but you're so stuck in your ways and you're sitting back in
know
that
how many
seat
times?
Back in L.A. because you got your little peach fuzz showing today because you got your shirt open. You sitting back there and you said the word never. That's what I'm addressing.
Well,
you
let
said
me use the word
never,
never
have a chance, and we don't even. And we
I'll
don't
use
even
the word
know.
Never.
LeBron James just said he had four or five good years. So if he wins two or three more titles, is
yeah,
he
it took him a lot longer to get him, Perk.
Past Michael Jordan.
It took
and
him a lot
and what
for his career.
Max,
he already passed
Max,
him.
Max.
At his best,
Max,
it took him a Max, lot longer to get him. Why
no,
is that?
Max, no, Max, you stop. You stop right there. You don't even need to address this conversation because last time I checked, you was talking about the Clippers and Kawhi Leonard.
That's totally what that got to do.
That's totally what that got to do with LeBron and MJ.
Move out the way with that, Mac. That's
got to do with LeBron and MJ.
He's right about that.
Hold on. I'll use the word never right now.
He's right about that.
Here's the word never, Perk. Here's the word never. You know how many times Michael Jordan played in the finals, and he wasn't the MVP, and he wasn't the best player on either team? Never. That never happened. Never. There's never for you, okay? Why would that be? Why was Michael Jordan every time the best? Never not the best player on the floor. Never not the MVP.
Hey, Max, you tell me this. You name me one time LeBron James went to the finals, and he never was the best player in the finals.
Second time he played Kate. I might agree with you, but there's a hell of an argument. Two times. The first time against Dirk Nowitzki and the Mavs, and the second time against KD and the Warriors. You could argue either time LeBron wasn't the best player in the series.
No, sir.
Really?
No, sir. And this is the same thing that you always do, Max. You take a sample size of what someone gives you, and you harp on that. Just like Kawhi gave you a sample size last year, and you were so ready to jump off the deep end and say, oh, yeah, it's Kawhi.
You try to make it about Kawhi. We're talking about MJ and LeBron. Bottom line is you asked me a question. Dirk was better than him when they linked up. KD, you could argue, was better when they linked up in the second time.
I was about to argue with KP, but the fact of the matter is, after the way you was wearing pom-poms for Kawhi Leonard for over the last 2 years, you really have no stock in this conversation. He's actually right about
that. I know
you'd
like to make it about that.
You have no stock in this conversation after the way you raved about Kawhi Leonard. Kendrick Perkins
got
me there.
Got to do with
this? That's a very valid point. Oh, by the way, oops, really? I mean, really?
Hey, Molly,
I'll never get over that one. Oops.
An inaugural class
2 years. Oops.
School of Communications Hall of Fame? Just now, today, was that right? Did that just happen? Quinnipiac?
Oh.
Sorry, Quinnipiac.
Congratulations, Molly.
Hall of Fame?
Thank you.
Did that just happen, Molly?
No, over the weekend.
Mazel tov. That's amazing.
Girl.
That's just happened. It's a Monday. That counts as
Hall
just
of Fame
happening.
In the house.
We have a Hall of Famer.
Thank you. Appreciate
congratulations,
it,
Molly.
Thank you.
Congratulations,
appreciate Molly. It very much. All right, we'll see you all tomorrow. Bye.